Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
This is Brian Kane with the Peak Performance Podcast, and today we've got the wonderful opportunity to be with Chris Hatcher. Chris is currently in the major leagues as a pitcher with the Miami Marlins. He was a 2006 fifth-round draft pick out of the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. Was drafted as a catcher, made it to the big leagues in 2010 as a catcher, and then got up there in 2011, you know, as a pitcher, and is now up there with the Miami Marlins. Hatch, appreciate you taking time to talk with us a little bit here, man.
Yes, sir. Not a problem.
You know, with your experience, you get drafted as a catcher, and then you play in the big leagues as a catcher, and you play in the big leagues as a pitcher. What does it take from a mindset standpoint, you think, to be a Major League Baseball player?
Well, when I converted to a pitcher, you know, everybody told me, hey, it takes time. And I never really fully understood what time meant as far as, you know, learning how to pitch. I threw very hard, but I didn't know how to pitch. And, you know, this year I think it finally clicked for me what they meant by time. You have to give things time. You have to learn the game. And what I fully found is something I never found as a catcher. I found how to be confident, be convicted, and trust in what I was doing, and knowing that my stuff was good enough to play against the guys I'm going against.
Yeah, I just saw you actually work with some of the guys at UNC Wilmington. That was one of the things that you really hammered home, was that confidence, that conviction, and that trust. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
It's one of those things where I don't know where it came from. One day I had to do a little soul searching. I just got roughed around. This was last year. And I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, what am I lacking? And I looked at myself, and I fully didn't have trust and confidence that I was good enough to be on the mound pitching against, you know, the Adam LaRoche, the Jason Wirfs. So from that day forward, I made it a point to tell myself, there's a reason I'm here. I'm good enough. And the reason I keep getting beat is because I'm not trusting myself. And, you know, gradually more and more the confidence came, and I became convicted and trusting in the pitches that were being called and that I was throwing. And, you know, things just completely did a 180. You know, stuff started happening that was falling my way, and you know, pitches started doing what I wanted them to do, and everything just completely turned. And that's a big thing I harp on when I'm working with people. If you don't trust yourself and you don't have confidence in yourself, nobody else is. And as a catcher, you know, I was a pretty decent catcher, but my hitting was lacking, and I think it's because I didn't have confidence in myself. You know, every day I was getting something new from a hitting coach or something new from a teammate, and I never gave it time to get where, you know, that work I was putting in was showing, because I was changing something every time. And it's hard to have confidence, and you said in your seminar today, what comes first, confidence or success? And I look at it, when I was a hitter, I wasn't very successful, and you know, I wasn't have confidence because I wasn't successful. But, you know, when I went to the pitching side, it flipped. I looked myself in the mirror and said, I have got to become more confident and trusting in my stuff, and that's when the success came. So, for me, the confidence comes before the stress, success.
And then the success follows.
Exactly.
You know, I think as an outsider who never played in the big leagues, and for most people listen to this, so have never played in the big leagues, when they watch guys out there perform at that level, I think sometimes there's a perception that guys at that level have their confidence 100 out of 100. They're always confident. Is that the case?
There's times when you question it. Yeah. But I would say that's probably correct. I wouldn't necessarily say the confidence. I think they trust in their abilities. They've put the time, they've put the effort, they've put the work in, that they trust in the abilities. And, you know, there's some days when you go out and you don't have your best stuff. You don't have full confidence, but you have enough. You have confidence in your abilities. You don't have your full confidence that you're going to perform well, but you trust and you're confident that your abilities will be there, if that makes sense.
And this confidence, you know, I hear a lot of athletes say, I got to feel confident. You know, I don't feel good. I can't find my swing. I can't feel it. And my statement to them is always, hey, man, confidence isn't so much about a feeling as it is about a mindset, an attitude, just the way that you carry yourself. What's confidence to you? Is it feeling? Is it mindset? Is it a little bit of both? What's confidence?
Well, I use three words. I use confident, convicted, and trust. And I think what you described is, if you're not convicted in what you're doing, you're not going to be confident in it. And that's why, though, I picked those three words, is because I go down my checklist. You know, Am I convicted in what I'm doing? You know, am I trusting in it? Therefore, that should make me confident, right? And then if the answer is no, I step back and I reevaluate. Okay, something's not right with this fastball I want to throw here. And then it turns into, okay, should I throw a slider? Yes. Why? Oh, because this is the right pitch. There's my conviction. It's the right pitch. Oh, there's the trust in it too. Let's go. Here's my pitch. So I don't, like I said, I don't know where those three words came from, but they rang a bell to me, and it's worked. So hopefully somebody can grab those three and run with them.
One pitch at a time. What's that mean? What does that mean to you?
There's a difference. When I was a catcher, I was thinking, what is this guy going to do with this pitch? And if he doesn't, what's he going to set up for the next one? Now that I'm a pitcher, one pitch at a time is, what do I need to throw to make this pitch count? And by count, I mean dictate the rest of it back, dictate what he's going to do here. Am I going to get a ground ball? Am I going to get a fly ball? Is it a swing and miss pitch? It's just living in the moment. And if you're looking at the pitch after this, you're not going to have full trust in the pitcher throwing it.
So now that you've played in the big leagues both as a catcher and as a pitcher, if you could go back and you could grab the UNC Wilmington baseball hatch when he was in college and say, hey, man, I just jumped ahead, you know, 6-8 years later. Here's what I know now that I wish I knew when I was in college. You know, what is it that you know now? I'm playing in the big leagues, both as a catcher and a pitcher. First guy since the 1940s to make that change and get back to the big leagues. What do you know now you wish you knew when you were in college? And college baseball players, lock in here because you're getting a little piece of inexpensive experience from a guy who's living it right now.
This is a tough one. You put me on the spot here.
You're on the spot every time you step on that rubber, man.
Oh, man. Changing speeds is the biggest factor of hitting and pitching. The pitcher's job is to change location and speed and disrupt the hitter's timing. And knowing what I know now, I feel like college guys would just learn that. Learn how to change speed, even if it's a fastball. Change speeds on your fastball, same arm action, same arm speed. You know, put it a little deeper in your hand or something. Just get the ball off the end of the bat. That's how you get people out. Just changing speeds and changing location.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Hatch. Yes, if for any of the people out there, they're going to become fans of you, they want to follow you on Twitter. Do you have a Twitter account or anything where people can follow you and stay up to date on what you got going?
I do. It's at handlebars31, like bicycle handlebars. Excuse me, handlebars41.
Handlebars 41, bicycle. Also, if you look at the picture on the Wikipedia page, you'll see the mustache handlebars. Hatch, appreciate you taking time, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy
appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com. That's briankain.com. And sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.